That adventure was to last a lifetime. Over the decades, he won 23 Grammys and 67 nominations for his reinvigoration of jazz. He played to packed houses the world over, touring with barely a break. Yet he found it odd to be celebrated as a jazz fusion pioneer, as if you could say where one sort of jazz ended and another began. He treated music more like a swimming pool where he just jumped in and had fun. Fusion, in any case, went on all the time. As soon as you played a piece with anyone, you exchanged ideas. As a young player, in New York in the 1960s, he had learned from everyone he gigged for, from Stan Getz, who tamed his wildest side and taught him melodic simplicity, to Mongo Santa Maria, who shaped his African-Cuban instincts with the beat of a conga drum. He felt so passionately Spanish or Cuban by the end of his gigs in Harlem that it was odd to think his ancestry was Italian. Even the older guys, Mozart, Chopin, Scriabin, was still teaching him his kindred spirits. He once wove Mozart's sonata in F major into Gershwin's The Man I Love and was amazed at how well they went together. In music, jazz especially, one exploration naturally led to another. He had only to think how he composed, hearing a tune in his head, playing off it, adding on, doodling with crayons to jog his creativity along. Sometimes he wrote phrases down, or composed at a keyboard, so they were stored. All too often, though, he couldn't catch them. Music, like a waterfall, never stayed still, and nor did bands. But that was good. Every change of players brought in something fresh. An Egyptian snare drum sent his music in one direction, a flute in another. He tried duos with a vibraphone player, Gary Burton, and a banjoist, Bella Fleck, to see what strange, thrilling sounds came through. When he set up an online academy, later, and asked the young to send in questions, it was at least partly to provoke new thoughts. He welcomed wrong notes, didn't much mind miscues, they could pitch him down a different path.